Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It's time for another edition of the Brett Allen Show.
It's go time, you and me.
Join us weekly for the latest pop culture interviews from your favorite TV shows, movies, comedians, and so much more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, it felt good.
Plus, you never know who will drop by.
What happened here was a miracle.
Now, here is your host.
I said throw down, boy.
Welcome to the night's main event.
Brett Allen.
All right. Well, today we have an extremely special guest. He is a very busy individual. I have seen you posting, others posting. It's con time. You're making some appearances. You've been making appearances. Actor Stephen Ogg, thank you for your time, sir. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thanks for having me. Nice to meet you, too.
Yes. Well, you're a very busy guy. I see you doing a lot of different.
I hear this, and like, I wish I was as busy as people think I am. I wish the reality was the same as, I guess, what people think. Some of the time, I guess I have been. I keep myself busy, but I was overdoing a con, and I do have an upcoming film that I'm going to shoot. So yes, I do. Maybe I should just say things, I guess, are happening, just always not at the volume I wish or that people think.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about social media, I guess. It gives this appearance of nonstop, but you could be working on something now, as you mentioned, or have worked on something and are just now promoting it, or maybe promoting multiple things at once. And it gives the appearance of nonstop. Nonetheless, I'm glad we have a few minutes today to talk. I'm a big fan of yours, and I love your work and the many projects that you've done, but you did a con. I want to ask you, when people meet you and get a chance to connect with your fans, what projects do people place you at? Because it's a broad timeline for me.
Yeah, I guess it really does vary depending sort of what the con is. Like this one that I did in Dublin was an anime con. So it was obviously very the GTA focus, because that's what everyone was there for, that world. But if it's just like a regular one where you've got a wrestler, a cartoon voice, an 80s actor,
yeah,
you know, the mixture of it all. It's generally a good mixture. I mean, obviously I'd say the Walking Dead and the GTA, the video game, are the two biggest, but then I'm always surprised by and I'm always delighted by the little ones that pop for people or resonate, or even people now talking about my poetry book and things that you wouldn't necessarily think a con would stereotypically be about or discuss, but even dementia, like with my father and dealing with dementia or mental health. It's pretty interesting. You get a bit of everything, that's for sure, which is lovely. That's what you want, a bit of everything.
Yes, because I think as an actor and storyteller, creative and artist, it has to be great for you. It sounds like when people can connect with you on different levels, it's funny, tongue in cheek about the con experience where it's like you and then maybe like Hulk Hogan over here and maybe like the Cobra Kai over here. And yeah, it's just wild. All blended together, you know.
You're always going, who is that? Who is that? And I'm sure they're pointing at me going, who's that? Why is he here? So it's, and I've also met some wonderful people at the cons that I'm still friends with. So it's a very unique experience. And certainly my idea of them when it started, sort of, especially with The Walking Dead, has changed a lot over the years. And I mean, I'm just incredibly grateful, like, to be in this position where you make people happy. And
yeah,
like I said, I mean, that's an incredibly privileged position to be in. And I certainly believe at the cons, I make it about the fans. Like I do give good con, you know, people are waiting in line. They're paying to get in. They're paying for this. They're paying for that. I'm going to give you time. So like even in Dublin, I said, I stand in front of my table. I'm in with them. And I usually go into the line. I say, hey, listen, because there was a fire marshal thing with the lineup. And so they had to bend it around. And I said, listen, they told me to speed up, but I'm not going to speed up because I think it cheapened your experience. So I could either whip through you all. And I know some people do that. Just, or, you know, almost like a stamp.
Yeah.
Or you can wait a little longer and hopefully leave with an experience that is more meaningful than just, you know, hey, yeah, especially in the morning. I'm like, you sure? I mean, even now I'm like, why do you want this on your phone? But so,
yeah,
I'm
just, well, selfies, great. I feel like, are the economy of today. Like, it's the currency of today. There was one recently, a con, I think it was in Massachusetts. A friend of mine went as press, and there were so many different people there. And like, you've got Thelma and Louise over here. Not to tirade on this too much, but you bring up a very interesting point, because I find this con world so fascinating, because it's a chance for people to connect with actors that have impacted other people's lives and to see you. Like, if it wasn't for this medium of us having a conversation, you agreeing through your booker or your management to say yes, or even meeting at a con, we probably wouldn't have this conversation. Maybe if I met you as an extra on set, we might exchange pleasantries depending, but your work is so broad, including your poetry. It's all fascinating. So I think it's cool that you do it. And I know it's a big sacrifice too, in a sense of time and leaving family or whatever the case might be. So I think it's cool.
It's like when people are like, you must be exhausted. I'm like, look what I'm doing. I'm signing pictures. I'm taking pictures. No, I would never complain in that position. You just can't. There's no way. No one should. And if you do complain, then you shouldn't be there. Get the hell out, because you should feel so incredibly privileged to be there. So I don't take them for granted. And it's, you know, again, like I always say, I'd rather be acting every day. Honestly, I'd rather be on a set or, you know, stage or something. But despite what people read or think, I'm not busy all the time. So obviously, time permitting, which I have, I'll do them. But if I were to get even a short film at the same weekend, I would take doing, you know, creating something that than a con.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I personally thank you from, it's fun. So are you coming to the one in Denver this summer, the Fan Expo, just out of curiosity? I know there's been making announcements every single day. I wasn't sure if you, I thought you had one coming up. Maybe it was the one that you already did. I could be wrong. Some reason I thought you were coming somewhere. Oh, it's PopCon in Indiana, or did that already happen?
Oh yeah, no, that's coming up in April, and that was still, I'm shooting a film in Northern Ontario. And still, I'm thinking it's probably not going to happen in Indiana, because I have a feeling, as always is the way, the 7 days will happen in those exact.
That's how it always is.
Family coming into town. So I'm trying to schedule it all. Certainly Toronto is closer to Indianapolis. But again, if I'm filming or if I'm working on something, I need to just stay focused. I can't travel on the weekend when I'm shooting or anything like that.
I get
that.
It. As a sidebar here, the sign behind you has got my attention. I love that motto. It's such a great way to live.
I should have also maybe said, is this all right for Zoom?
Oh, you're totally fine. Nobody's going to complain at this level. I can promise you.
Yes, he's a wonderful artist from Chicago.
Okay.
Eric Stefanski. That one was just, pink is my favorite color. And then my mother's not too thrilled with it. She's not a fan, but it is a nice, you know, yeah, it's a good expression.
I love it. Well, speaking of, what does she think of your work, your projects that you've done throughout your career? Does she give you notes? Does she have input on projects you've done?
I mean, it's funny because my mom still is like, you know, she'll still say, why don't you do something like, you know, a romantic comedy or something? Mom, look at this face for starters. You know, the work I get is this. She still hasn't seen. Well, no, I showed her Boiling Point because Boiling Point, the BBC show, still hasn't got released in the States yet. They're still negotiating for that. But I did show her that. I mean, she doesn't, she watches, you know, she still watches Masterpiece Theater in the BBC, but the Canadian version.
Okay.
So I'll sometimes show her clips or.
Has she seen Walking Dead at all? Just out of curiosity.
We did, because I think when I was first on it, my dad was still with me. Being dementia, you lose the person with right. dementia over and over. And so he was still cognizant, I guess, what my dad was when it came out. So my dad and my mom, we did watch it, but it wasn't their thing. You're like,
yeah, well, I'm just now in a rewatch, and we'll save this part to the end because I don't want to just self-indulge. I do have some questions. Some fans wrote in and have ideas or things that they found fascinating about that show and your class, so to speak, that was part of that world. But I want to talk about going back to when you first started acting. I was looking at your filmography. Was Law and Order, I know sometimes the order of these things can be off, but was something like that where you first started television? Was Law and Order one of those shows?
I think I'd done something before that. I mean, that was the, you know, the early days in New York City where you audition for everything and anything, right. and do your two lines on every single show, usually a Dick Wolf production. You know, previously to that, I had been, I mean, in Europe for 5 years. So I wasn't really doing any acting there, just living and experiencing life. But then prior to that I did theater growing up in Calgary. So not a lot of TV. It was just theater when I started. So Law and Order could have been the first one. I mean, all that IMDb stuff, it's crazy. Actors don't have control over it.
It is a bit fascinating. My question really was like, what interested you in storytelling? Was it the theater aspect of things? Was family influencing you? Because the world that you're in, I say this all the time, is just so uniquely different than most people who work an 8-to-5 job.
Yeah, I mean, I've been very, very blessed. I don't know really any different. And I mean, it all, you know, obviously when I started, it was about performing. And for better or for worse, I don't feel I've changed. Like, I still enjoy it. I still reach. I still feel like literally, and I was talking to my missus the other day about this. I said, am I just fucking crazy? Well, don't answer that. But it's like, because I still feel like I'm nowhere where I want to be.
Right.
In business, personal, let's put this aside. Let's make it just, if we're talking about business.
Yeah.
What I was as a young child wanting, it's the same things I want now. And it's been consistent throughout my life. None of it has been about money. None of it has been about, you know, fame or recognition. All of these are side effects of, and I've been very fortunate with sort of these big gigs that I've got, or these bit parts in big gigs. But I still feel like I'm still waiting for that big break. You know, I mean, it's like Colman Domingo, great example, right? Just grinding. Now, granted, he wrote a Broadway play, so he's a little few steps ahead of me. But there's a great example of like, hey, it can pay off at any time. You keep grinding, and it's his, and rightly so, his time in the sun. But then, you know, Jeffrey Wright, there's all these people that I'm still like, am I delusional thinking that I'm still gonna, or is that just what keeps me going? Like, I am, it's tough to sort of say, especially to 8-to-5 people, but I'm just not content with where I'm at.
Like, no, I get that.
I said to Sarah, my girl, she's like, we're talking about this. And I was like, am I delusional or am I just, and she's like, I don't think you have to be like, accept that this is your lot in life.
Right.
That my lot in life is digging trenches for a living. Again, I have very clear perspective as to what we're discussing and, you know, like the first world problems we talk about. But, and it wasn't, I heard an interview with Jez Butterworth, who, you know, adore Jerusalem, his play. I mean, one of the best plays, I'd say, of the 21st century. And he, it was on a podcast, and he said he hasn't felt like he's really written everything. Like, he hasn't done anything yet. And that sort of gave me peace, as in that, okay, I'm not an ego. I'm not crazy on this. It's just that quest for more. And again, it's not for money. It's not for to be in the, you know, superhero universe, or it's really just to work. That's what it is. That,
right.
Which I am, but you know, it's 7 days. It's not, I would love to, like the theater piece that I've been, or that we're starting to develop now, which was the Irish Arts Council funding, which when I was in Ireland, it happened. Probably the proudest thing, the most excited thing to happen in my career was just getting this grant. And, you know, we'll do it in 100-box theater in Ireland. But that is like that I'm so excited about, because that's something I've grinded away for, and to do sort of a one-man show, which is what Cillian Murphy has done with Max Porter, like Grief is a Thing with Feathers, or Edna Walsh's Mr. Man, which I've seen in St. Anne's. This is like my super excited, super nervous, because I'm like, oh shit, I better be good. But it'll be a consistent thing. That's like, I want to work every day, you know, like 5 days a week. When actors are like, I'm exhausted, I need a break. I'm like, I'd like a break. Like, my nose is burnt because I've been sitting reading by the pool. You know, I've got like a stack of, like, I'm just going through books, burning my face. But again, I'd rather be, you know, acting.
Yeah, I get it. Well, having just spoken to so many different actors, storytellers, at all the different places in, you know, the station of their careers, I think that's a common thread, is that, you know, you're just in love with it so much that, like, anything else is secondary. So as an 8-to-5er, so to speak, I get it. Like, it's not, to me, an ungrateful perspective. It's like, to do this full time would be phenomenal, and to make a living at it, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's that itch as creatives, is like, you want to just like keep going, you know? And
my happy place, really.
What's that?
My happy place, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Cause I mean, it's an opportunity to just create something that will, I think, impact people for a long time, forever, really. I think what you do is so interesting. I know you've done a lot of different projects. And I want to ask, like, for you, what are maybe like one or two things, Stephen, that are important to you when you get an offer to do something, or maybe go out to audition? Are there things that you're looking at that help you decide?
Well, again, like the offers, it's again, like, I, you know, I'm, friends are always like, what? You have to audition still? I was like, yeah. I still feel like I'm 20, struggling away trying to get some stuff. So again, I'm not sitting at my desk with scripts all over the place.
Right. For sure.
So it's, you know, sometimes it's just like, I've had a couple short films that I've done because, well, I did enjoy the scripts when I read them. They were unique. So I love anything unique. And more it's, so again, this is based on an opportunity more than like an offer. It could be an opportunity being an audition or someone that knows me.
Right.
So when those do come up, to try to answer your question a little more succinctly, it would be unique. That's important. I want a filmmaker who's got something to say. And that doesn't mean I have to enjoy the whole story. It has to be something unique, the way they're telling it, what they have to say, and then the character is different for me.
Right.
just as in when I did about five or six indie films in the past couple of years, each character was significantly different. Being a sheriff, helping a blind woman in a small town, to a meth addicted, suicidal father in the whole opioid epidemic in these coal mining towns, to a bald cyberpunk killer who doesn't kill. He uses, like, instead of bullets, he stuns people, but like yeah. all in black, bald head, to a dad. So that's been a big thing, is like, I always want to do a different character. Now, that being said, a friend and I, Eddie Alexar, who did Divinity, Steven Soderbergh produced, he's so unique, his voice. And we've been trying to develop a film which would sort of place me as a serial killer, which a lot of people, you play the psychos really well. And I really haven't played one in a while. So, like, that's appealing to me, to play, good old fashioned serial killer, which I was actually talking to Michael Rooker about, because, one of the great serial killer movies was Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, Rooker. So that would answer. It's a unique storytelling, like a unique voice, an interesting story, unique voice. And then for me, it would be, I'm an actor that likes to do different characters and try different things out.
Yeah, I would say that's for sure. So when you're not working per se, as far as either a play or, in between auditions or working on a series, what other creative outlets do you have? Do you write? Do you read? Do you listen to podcasts? You got stacks of books that you brought up earlier.
All these stacks here I've got. Currently reading Edward's new beautiful book. I'm a big fan of his. We're trying to do like a performance piece together at some point. You have books everywhere. Books are my thing. I'm staring over at the Beckett collection here. Art, like all these art books. That art and books and music. Like, I'm going to work with, I don't know if you know the Australian punk band Emil and the Sniffers.
I've heard of them, yes.
Love them. Was a fan of them. Became friends with them all. They've been over to the house and we've had a pool party. I sort of feel like dad sometimes because they're young. But I love their energy. They have great energy. And so, like, I'm going to be working on a video in a couple weeks with them, which I'm super excited about. And so I just, I fill my time. I mean, also grinding. I mean, I have a Peloton that I'm on for like an hour, hour and a half a day. And that's usually when I'm on Instagram or IMDb trying to connect this person, this project. Do I know this person? It's kind of like a full-time business, grinding away, trying to procure work or create an Instagram post that is curated to hopefully connect a dot or have someone see me and, oh, I didn't think of him for that. And maybe we should... or create something on Instagram, like do a reading of a book, or
I love it.
Any of these things are just my need to perform and express. And I can't go into a studio and make a record or a song. Well, I could, but I don't think it'd be very good. And I'm not interested in writing novels, but I do like poetry, and I've got these poetry book, my first collection coming out this summer. Or fall, I think summer now. We just finally did the last pass. So that's, between that, those that can quickly fill my day, especially if I'm in the zone of yoga in the morning, dog walk, Peloton for an hour to an hour and a half, reading. I also need, like, I wake up with a book and a bodum of coffee and just quiet time, 45 minutes of just ingesting words or art books. Like, also, I love, like, even like the Tash and Frida Kahlo or the Francis Bacon or the Rothko or Jenny Saville, these art books are so beautiful because they also have writing in them, right? So you get to interviews with the artist, or I just read this beautiful Bacon and Giacometti dialogue that someone created, which would be a great theater piece. So I spent a lot of time doing that. That just, and that kind of takes the whole Saudi. Apologies. That's Sattva just standing on the bed, barking at someone walking by.
I love it. Well, I think what you do is cool, man. I want to talk about the poetry book. Your manager, when I reached out to her and we put all this together, she had mentioned that you were working on that. I want to ask you, like, where did that idea come from to put all that together? Because that's a very creative thing to do, for sure.
Okay. Thank you, Sat. We're safe. Okay. We're all safe here, everybody.
People love this part. It's the best part.
Bless the post people here, because he goes right up to the window and he's such a sweetheart. Come here, Sat. But, you know, he sounds mean. Must be like, they're like, get that dog away. Well, the poetry book came up. I've been writing poetry. Sort of my Instagram was becoming my poetry, my writing. And again, it's just an expression for me. And I began to sort of, you know, we all go through times in life that are much tougher than others. And my way of dealing with one of the ways of dealing with the things I was going through is to express it, you know, just to get it out there. And it became sort of this, through words, a cathartic journey of expression that then, you know, just it was really my girlfriend who's, you know, good at saying, hey, let's do this. Because I business of anything, I get, you know. So it was just, it was like, hey, why don't we do this book? And then she had approached a couple publishers, and then one of them said yes. And it's a UK publisher, which means a lot to me. Why specifically? I don't know. It's not the prestige? Maybe. I don't know. I just wanted my mom's British and I wanted the UK publisher. And so it was just like, again, something to put out there, something to focus on. And then to develop it. And, you know, it's going to be a very artistic book with a certain look, and it takes time to curate that, to curate the cover look and the way I want it presented on the page. And then hopefully we'll do, you know, a series that will add up to a nice, it's almost like the inspiration was a painting that this kind of idea of the colors.
Okay.
So it's going to be, you know, if you take one of those books stacked up, if we do a series of them, we'll look like that.
Oh, wow. That's great.
You know, so it becomes like, you know, just like you got Beckett here, even though it's the other way. It, you know, it makes a nice collection. I like books that it can also be a nice piece. So that's where it all just began, is that sort of, hey, let's do this. And also the fact is, you know, it's, I was helped immensely by writing this, and hopefully this particular volume is about, you know, realizing you're not alone, getting your pain out, expressing your pain, and hopefully making people sort of feel less alone through my own journey, you know?
Yeah, I think that's great that people could connect with you in that way. As a person of who you are, I don't like the term, you know, public figure, celebrity, whatever, but I mean, people know you from certain things, right? So they're going to connect with you in that way. But to have that other part of your life, I think is very cool. I wanted to ask, when you do these things, whether big sets, small sets, independents, and other actors know you, perhaps maybe that are starting out, do they ever solicit you for advice or ask you experiential questions to maybe figure things out where they're at in their journey personally?
Yeah, there's been, you know, again, recently, having done these indie films, or I'm sort of the veteran, for better or for worse, you know, I'm an old man. And I love to share. I mean, and especially, I think the biggest thing that I've been pleased and happy with is to be in a position to help others through making sure everyone's comfortable and everyone's being care of, because especially when, not that I'm in a certain stage, but at a certain place in your life, you don't have that, you're not going to take certain shit. And as we know from like the actor's strike, that whole idea of taking care of actors better, like paying them what they deserve, crazy little concepts like this, still aren't, you know, nothing's changed with the business. Sadly, I think in the bigger picture, it hasn't. But younger actors, it's nice to be like, you know, I did something recently and I didn't, you know, I'd asked her, it was just, she had to go up. She had to climb up quite high and no one was thinking anything of it, but I could kind of see as you know, you're doing the safety meetings and the chatting, I was watching her and I was looking at this thing like, that's high. I wouldn't want to go up there myself. And so I just went over to her and I said, you know, are you just the same thing with an intimacy coordinator? The need for it is because people take advantage of others. And then we need put these rules in place. It's the same thing why we got pick up your dog shit everywhere, because fucking people don't pick up their dog shit.
Yes.
So it's the pick up your dog shit syndrome. And so I was sort of watching her and I was like, and so I just went over to her and I just said, hey, are you comfortable doing this? Like, this is kind of, did you know you were doing this? And she's like, no. I was like, yeah, because you're certainly looking at this like, So I just said, I'm not going to like throw you under the bus, but I would like to help if I can, or if you want to come talk to me about something, I'm here for you to help you and to protect you.
Yeah.
So you know, because there's, you know, especially there's a lot going on. You see how things get missed and it is no fault of a filmmaker or anyone. It's just part of the circus that then you can do to protect and help others. So then, you know, at the end of the safety meeting, I said, I have a question. Just completely ignorant of that. I've talked to her or whatever. I just said, what's happening with going up here? Like, is there pads on the street? Cause there's a lot going on. And personally, you know, I'm scared of heights, you know, sort of throwing myself under the bus.
Right. Falling on your sword for a fellow actor. I love it, dude. That's great.
And then they basically were like, you were going to climb. Are you okay climbing that? So then it became, not really. I mean, so the dialogue began and then she felt comfortable because it was adjusted. So it's things like that, that I find to be, most helpful now on sets and just checking in and being, I will say it's like Andrew Lincoln on The Walking Dead was one of the best number ones I've ever had the pleasure of being around.
Okay.
Being number one on the call sheet, just he would talk to the extra, like a guest star for a day or two, like to assist. Everyone was checking in. Are you okay? And his commitment to the work, be it a drone shot, close up, your close up master, whatever it was, he was giving it his all. And that was such a great lesson. And that's certainly, even if I'm not number one on a call sheet, I like to do that. I like to make sure everyone is good. Hey, extras, go up to them. Nice to meet you guys. Thanks. Even on an indie film, right? Where it's local people in the background. Right. Hey, thank you so much. Cause this is a team sport. Go up to the crew, go up to everyone, not on the last day when you're like, see ya.
But when it's wrap time or, you know, it's like a 4-day sequence. It's like, yeah. Adios. It was nice. Yeah, I get it.
I like to make sure everyone knows that they're important, that, you know, it's kindness first, no assholes. You know, it was a Jonah Nolan policy with Westworld, no asshole policy. I adhere to that fully. I just won't work with assholes. And I don't like confrontation. As a person, I'm not confrontational, but I also don't like assholes. So I will find a way to make sure that, you know, if someone's being treated like shit, that it's known in any way possible. Cause I think we have to look out for each other and be kind and just stuff like that. So it's more about that than technique. Some people will ask about all of that stuff, you know, how do you get into this or what do you suggest? And, but I find that's the biggest thing is like how you treat your fellow human beings. That's the most important lesson above acting, above everything is don't be a, asshole.
Choose. I love it. Yeah. That's a good motto for life too. Just in general.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned The Walking Dead as we wrap here. One last question. I'm interested to know, because you came in, I think it was what, season 6, season 7, that kind of that middle class of students, as they say, of that storyline. It was so fun to watch you in all this. when you come into a set like that, that's been going on for so long and it's a well-oiled machine, how do you hit the ground running for that? Because there was a lot happening. And I feel like your storyline and a few others accomplished what I think others tried to accomplish in previous seasons and really set up that system and make things work. But besides that, I want to know, like, that experience for you obviously was fantastic, because you just mentioned working with Andrew was just fantastic. Yep.
And still being friends, you know, like Austin and I were just FaceTiming, Austin, Emilio, a couple. It's really Coleman and I, even though we didn't work on the same Walking Dead show, there's so many of us that are still in touch. So honestly, again, the whole thing of like just the relationships and friends made, the experience was great. You know, Craig Nicotero, I really owe that whole thing to, because he believed in me and said, we're keeping this guy around. And it was fun. You know, I don't really watch all those shows. Again, it's not my thing, but I love to act. And we just had so many good times. And even just like, you know, Austin and I used to go read plays in the cemetery. And, you know, those are the
experiences
I remember. And even Jeffrey, actually Norman and I just texted with Norman because I was in London and I'm not wearing my jewelry, but my jeweler friend over there made Norman a big ring too.
Yeah.
We just took a picture and big hug, big love to you and to Diane. And so that's special, you know, special to still have friends, from shows. That's a great thing.
Yeah. I mean, even Westworld, your part in that was really good. The whole thing.
So much out. Damn it.
What's that?
That's why I'm doing a theater piece, because I'm tired of people cutting shit out.
I know.
I'm doing a theater piece where nothing.
Where it's just live, linear streaming. Well, as I said at the beginning, my friend, I'm a huge fan. I thank you for your time. I know you don't do a lot of this, but I'm thankful that you said yes. And I'm excited to see what's next for you. I really am. And you have a huge body of work out there that has affected a lot of people. So thank you.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's very, very kind of you. And yeah, hopefully there'll be some stuff coming out. I mean, with these indie films, you never know. And, you know, I'm always, again, reaching. It would be nice to get a nice solid gig. But in the meantime, I just keep grinding and creating. And it's nice to, again, have this focus for this Irish play in Ireland, because it's at least, even if it's 2025, I'm going to Ireland in the end of May to workshop and we start develop it and all of this. It's nice to at least have, you know, it might be way over there, but it's something over there. At least I got some land to go for, you know, as opposed to this.
Well, that's what keeps you going as an actor, right? Is that the promise of hope and just being able to create, which I think is cool.
Yeah, create. That's what keeps one going.
I love it. Well, Stephen, thank you so much, my friend, and I appreciate your time.
Well, it was lovely to meet you, and I appreciate you taking time as well.
Thanks for listening and being a part of today's conversation.
Thank you!
If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. It's absolutely free.
Omega proportions.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
And remember, we care.